Glad we can trust him. If you would, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. So starting today, this Sunday, we'll be go back to preaching a series that is associated with our theme for the year, found in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, again about stewarding life. And this series of messages this fall, don't seem like fall, but anyway, this semester, maybe that's a better way to say it, will coincide a little bit with a book written by Paul Chappell called Stewarding Life. So I don't know if we have any back there or not. I think I did mention that to you when we began the year, that it'd be a good book for you to read and encourage you to do so. But I do want to give him a credit as we go forward here this semester. And as we talk about stewarding life, from Romans chapter 12, look with me in verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As I began studying for today and just determining what direction to go here in the next few weeks, I decided not to preach verse 2. We haven't even made it to verse 2 yet. So in the spring and towards the summer, we preached through the first verse and we preached five messages on it. Y'all won't remember them, but they were five messages on it. And so throughout this next few weeks, we will come back to verse 2 and teach it. But I believe it'll really have, it'll happen and it will coincide with many of these particular lessons. These lessons will be topical, but let's go on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace and your mercy that you've so richly bestowed upon us. And Lord, I pray this morning that we as Christians, those here who have been born again, those here who are children of God, Lord, may we live to glorify you and to be a good steward of the resources that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Stewarding life, this is our theme for the year, and it's about managing the resources that God has given you. Managing the resources that God has given you. Every time I think about stewardship, I think about J.C. House, who's preached our stewardship conference for so many years, has been unable to because of health the last couple of years. But one of his big sayings is, you ain't got no stuff. You ain't got no stuff. We don't have any stuff. Everything we have has been given to us by the Lord and belongs to the Lord, and we are simply stewards of it. We're managers of the resources that Christ has given us. Christianity is Christ. He lives in us, and we're to live our lives for him. Again, 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, because Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago and lived a perfect life and died on the cross and shed his blood there, they buried him, put him in a tomb, and he rose again the third day, we've been bought with a price. A price was paid for our sins. Therefore, glorify God. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Because of the price that was paid for our salvation, therefore, we are to glorify God in our life. Glorify God with our life. A great price was paid. I loved that song that says, his life for mine. He gave his life for us. He gave his life that he might give us life. And then it goes along with Romans chapter 12 where it says, look there again, it says, and therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because of the mercies of God, God not giving us what we deserve, we should present our bodies a living sacrifice. We should present our lives to God. We should present him. Why? Because of what he did for us on Calvary. Because of the love that he showed on the cross of Calvary and giving his life for mine. It is reasonable that we as Christians ought to give our lives to him. It's a reasonable request. Remember, again, verse 1. Brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. It's just reasonable. It's logical that we would give our lives to him. To fully surrender every resource in our life to the Lord. By the way, he can do far more with our lives. He can do far more with our resources than we can. We simply give our lives to Him. Life is filled with competing priorities. We talked about this a couple of years ago, that we only have one person to please, and that's the Lord. There are so many competing priorities out there. There's so many people that we seemingly need to please. Well, I only have to please one person, that's Jesus Christ. If I please Him, everything else will fall in place. Understand that all of these competing priorities and competing things in my life fill my day. And sometimes it's just, I don't know about you this week. This last week, by the way, Sunday's the first day of the week. But last week was a tough week. Sometimes you have those, don't you? Sometimes we feel like, man, am I going to make it to the next day? You know, it's getting ready for school to open and all the things that go on and other things that go on. And some of y'all know that we had a little glitch in the Norris out at the seminary trying to get that land sold and the buildings and all the things that went on. And we can get tied up in things and we can think, man, am I going to make it? Well, I can tell you, if you're living a life surrendered to the Lord, you will. Because life's fulfillment's not found in me. Life's fulfillment's not found in what I do. Life is filled, again, with all these things. By the way, the resources God has given us, the things that God has given us, like family and all those things, we're to steward those things. We're to be good stewards of those things. Somebody has said this, sometimes we spend life's resources instead of stewarding them. How many of y'all got that one? I messed up. Let's do it again. Sometimes we spend life resources instead of stewarding them. Man, struggles come, and again, just the daily grind, and we're just trying to make it, instead of making sure that we are stewarding our family and stewarding our jobs and stewarding our finances and stewarding and balancing all these things and being a good steward of the resources God has given us. If you go to any bookstore, if there's any bookstores left, if you go to a bookstore, you'll find thousands, or get on Amazon, find thousands of life management books. And by the way, some of them are not bad. I have probably 40 or 50 books in my library on leadership and time management and on and on and on. And there's some good things you can read, but there's thousands upon thousands of books you can read about managing life and how to become a better you, you know, how to reach your full potential. And many of these books, you know, give you various advice on how to become, again, a better you. But stewarding life is different than that. Listen to this now. Stewarding life is different than that. It's not about self-fulfillment, but recognizes that life is a gift of God and He entrusted it to us to steward for Him. I'm quoting Paul Chappell directly. Let me do it again. Stewarding life, the definition, or what is that mean? What does that mean? Listen closely now. Don't lose me. This is good. Stewarding life is different than the self-help book you buy down at the bookstore, or the time management book you buy, or the leadership book you buy. Stewarding life is not self-fulfillment, but recognizes that life is a gift of God, and He entrusted it to us to steward for Him. Do you recognize that? That my life has simply been given to me by God, and I'm to steward it for Him. My life is not my life. It's His life that's been given to me. And God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your life. And that purpose is not found by tapping into your inner self or tapping into your inner whatever. No, how do we do this? So how do we steward life? We steward life by studying God's principles found in His Word and then living by them. Everybody with me? It's not about going down and reading the latest leadership book. I have several books by John Maxwell and many other books that are good on, again, managing our lives. But the best resource for managing your life is the Bible. Let me say this. The final authority in managing your life is the Bible. I'm going to take this book. I'm going to study it. I'm going to find the resources that God gives me for managing whatever area of my life that I am trying to steward. I'll give you an example, parenting. It's a great example because there's so many books out there and people who get, you know, Dr. Phil giving advice about parenting. Can I tell you, the best advice you can get about parenting, the best way to steward the resource that God gave you. By the way, He gave you your kids. The Bible says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. They're given to you by God. He's the one who, I'm going to talk about that in a moment, He's the one that opens the womb and closes the womb. And so the best resource you have for managing, for stewarding your responsibility as a parent is the Bible. I don't have to go to a self-help book. I don't have to see what Dr. Hit this or Dr. That says about parenting. And there are some good parenting books. I'm not saying there's not. But listen, I'm going to go by the Word. By the way, the way the Bible, God's resource, God's principles says to raise your family is contradictory to what the world says. So I'm not going to do it the way the world says. I'm going to do it the way the Bible says. And God will bless it. He's promised to. And I could go into a lot more, but we don't have time. I will say this to you. Parents, we got kids going off to college and all this, going off to school. A lot of kids trying to find their purpose as far as their job or what they're going to do in the future, getting that guidance. What does success look like to you for your kids? Man, I thought a lot about this yesterday and today. What does success look like for you as a parent for your children? Well, I'm there now. I have three kids out of high school. They're now adults. They're adulting. They're paying bills. You know, they're paying hospital bills. They're all these things. What does it look like? I can tell you what it looks like to me. Are my kids glorifying God? That's it. Are my kids in church? Do my kids have my grandkids in church? Realize, I'm saying this because it means a lot to me. I would be terrified if my kids didn't have my grandkids in church. Amen. That they weren't under the voice of the gospel every Sunday. I'd be terrified that my grandkids might go to hell. Amen? Right. So having your kids successful, what does that look like to you? To me, it's them in church. To me, it's them glorifying God with their lives. To me, it's having my grandkid, one right now, Lord willing, more in the future, having my grandkids in under the gospel. It's having them in children's church with Brother Tyler and all the group up there. It's having them in Sunday school with Linda Smith and all those things. It's having them under the influence of the gospel. That's success to me. And I'm telling you, parents may need to kind of change up what you think success is, because a lot of parents don't have that as their success. You know, they think if their kid does college this or goes sports this or whatever the case is, doesn't matter, hill of beans to me. Are they glorifying God? So that's where true success is. That's where true fulfillment is. Stewarding life. God has a purpose for your life. I know that's a simple statement, but listen, God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your life. And it's studying God's principles found in the Word of God and handling His resources that brings about that fulfillment. We need to discover God's purpose and then live that out. What is life all about? Teenager, what is life all about? What is purpose? What is your purpose in life? What is my purpose on earth? I think we've preached it many, many times, but let's cover it this morning. And I got just a few minutes. Number one, you are special to God. You are special to God. You are God's design. God formed man. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, that He reached down. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became what? A living soul. God stooped down. I believe it was a theophany. I believe it was God in the flesh as an Old Testament appearance. I believe it was Jesus Christ, a theophany. And that's a whole other theological lesson. But He stooped down. It said, and formed man out of the dust of the ground, and then stooped down and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. All the cattle, all the animals were created in mass, but man was created uniquely. Man was the center focus of God's creation. Man was the center focus of God's creation. Earth and all of its abundance, all of its fruit, everything that God created, He created for man. And let me say it, mankind, for men and women. God created this planet for us to enjoy. As I've stated many times, I'm so thankful that food doesn't all taste the same. He could have, I know we laugh about it, but He could have made it all taste the same. He could have made it all taste like, I don't know, rice cakes. Who in the world eats? I mean, He could have just had it all taste like nothing. But no, He made all these great ingredients and great flavors and wonderful meat and wonderful fish and chicken. And then, I love Brother McCracken. He talked about the vegetarians when he was here. But for you vegetarians, He created wonderful asparagus and broccoli and lettuce and onions. And, I mean, just go on and on and on. Watermelon and cantaloupe and honeydew and peaches straight off the tree. Peaches in the store don't even taste like peaches hardly. You gotta have it straight off the tree. And when you bite into it, I'm talking about fuzz and all. Don't even wash it. Just a fuzz and all, and you bite into it, the stuff dribbles down your chin. Man, that is awesome. I worked in the peach orchard when I was a kid. I'd eat one and put one in the basket. I couldn't eat them that fast. I tried. They did say we could have all we could eat. So that's my breakfast every morning. But God made all this. God made so many. I mean, He made different kind. You know, all these different colors and just amazing. All the different animals God did for us. God made us unique. God made us special. Life is significant. And God created us and He now sustains us. Psalm 36 verse 9 says, "For with thee there is a fountain of life." In other words, you are the fountain of life, God. You're the one who brings life. The self-existent one, the eternal one, Jehovah God, created all things. And He alone has the power to create, and He alone has the power to give life. You are special. You have been uniquely created. All our thumbprints are different. You know, it's amazing. God made you unique. God made you unique. Life comes from God. And because life comes from God, it is precious and valuable. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, He speaks about Jeremiah. And you might want to write these down if you're talking about where does life begin. How does life begin? It begins at conception. The Bible is very clear about that. And God believes that God created life, and life is precious. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, our lives are purposely planned. He said that He knew Jeremiah when he was in the womb and already had called him to be a prophet. Already had called him to be a prophet. He knew him in the womb. So before our lives even, God at conception has given purpose to our life. Psalm 139, which is the one we use a lot when it comes to abortion, verses 13 through 16, the moment of conception, life begins. God recognizes life at the moment of conception. We become a living soul at the moment of conception. And we're not free to end life. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13 says, "Thou shalt not kill." Listen close. Thou shalt not kill. At conception, that baby is alive. Amen. Life is precious to God. And we have no right to take a life. Only God has the right to take a life. Because He's God. He created life. Matthew, if you want to write this one down, Matthew chapter 19 and verse 13. Exodus 20, verse 13 says, "Thou shalt not kill." And then we find in Matthew chapter 19, verse 13, Jesus clarifies. He gives us a greater understanding of what that means, "Thou shalt not kill," when He says, "Thou shalt not murder." So He clarifies and says, which all the Old Testament Levites and priests knew that meant not murder. It means thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not take a life on purpose. In fact, there were laws in the Old Testament that if you killed a person by accident, there was a way in which you could survive. It wouldn't have to be a life for a life. Also, we find Romans chapter Again, Romans chapter, I'm going to look that up in a moment. Romans chapter 13, verse 4, and Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, human government was instituted by God to protect life. He says, when a man sheds blood of another man, that man shall die. And it was the government's responsibility to make that happen. And then if you read Romans chapter 13, verse 4, it says the very same thing as Genesis chapter 9, verse 6 says, in which the government has the right to take a life. Life for a life. So the Bible does teach capital punishment. And the government has the right to do that. You take a life on purpose, then your life should be taken. That's a biblical statute. That's a biblical precept. It's a biblical principle. Why? Why would God put that in the Bible? Life for a life. Why would God put all these things in place? Why would we put the government in place to help for an orderly society, but also to protect human life? Because life is precious to God. Life is precious. Your life is precious to God. You are unique. God made you unique. You are precious. And your life is precious to God. God gave you life. He determined the time that you would be born. He determined the place in which you would be born, found in Acts chapter 17. And He will determine your death. It's appointed unto man once to die. Appointed unto man once to die. There's an appointment. God's made it. You have an appointment. I don't know when it is. And I don't know when mine is. But God's already set the appointment. God gave life, and He is the only one with the right to take it. We find that God opens and shuts the womb. We see this in the case of Sarah, Abraham's wife. We see this in the case of Hannah and so many others in the Bible. And death is determined. The length of life is determined by God. We find this by way of King Hezekiah. The Bible says King Hezekiah in Isaiah chapter 38, verse 5, that he was sick unto death, but he began to pray. He began to cry out to God. He began to repent. And God gave him 15 more years. God determines when we'll be born. God determines our death. And Moses and Solomon both, especially Solomon, over and over again said, life's most important principle is obedience to God. Life's most important principle, life's principle is obedience, to learn and obey, to learn the principles of God and obey them. Life is better when we look for the instructions on how to steward our life and we obey them as found in the Word of God. Is not your kid's life better if they obey you? Hello, kids? Is your life better when you obey mom and dad? Or does it become a nightmare when you don't, right? It ought to become a nightmare when you don't. Your parents ought to make it hard on you. By the way, I know I am a review is the best teacher. And there's several statements over the last 23 years I repeat a lot. This is one of them. God always has your best interest in mind. Kids, your parents always have your best interest in mind. At least the parents in here. I know them. God always has our best interest in mind. And to obey His principles, to obey His word, to follow and use the Bible as your guide in stewarding this life will bring a life of fulfillment. So many people live lives that are empty. So many people live lives, well, they may have a lot of money. Robin Williams had a lot of money. Robin Williams had a lot of fame. But look what that brought him. No contentment and no true fulfillment. But can I tell you, when you steward your life according to the Word of God, when you steward your life, your unique life according to the principles found in the Word of God, you'll find fulfillment. You'll have true fulfillment and true contentment. True fulfillment and contentment can't be found in a job. Can't be found in money or fame. It's found in Jesus Christ and fulfilling His will in your life. What is our purpose in life? Our purpose in life is to glorify God. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, if you want to write it down. Revelation 4, 11, we were created for His pleasure. We're here to glorify Him. Teenagers, your purpose in life is to glorify God. And this is God's broad will for everybody. It's the will of God for everybody that everyone would glorify Him. glorify Him. We were created to glorify Him. And to glorify Him brings fulfillment. To live for self brings emptiness, but to glorify God brings fulfillment. By the way, one of the great ways in which we are fulfilled is by spreading the gospel. As we spread the gospel, it brings fulfillment in our life. As we share the good news of salvation, that salvation is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and found that in His life, His death, and His resurrection, and the only means to only way to have heaven and escape hell is through Jesus Christ, it brings fulfillment in our life. I hope you're saved this morning. I hope you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. But you as an individual have a unique purpose. Not only do we have the broad purpose of glorifying God, by the way, fulfilling that broad purpose of glorifying God in everything gives victory in your life because He's promised to give us victory. Amen? It's promised fulfillment. But each of us have a unique purpose. All have the same big picture purpose of glorifying God, but all of us have a unique purpose. He has given each of us as individuals a purpose, a way in which to fulfill the purpose of glorifying Him. You kind of get that in your brain. Your purpose is to glorify God, and each one of us have been given a unique purpose in a way in which to glorify Him. My unique way is I'm a pastor. I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a teacher. And that's the way in which I've been given, the resource I've been given to glorify Him. Those are the resources I've been given to glorify Him. Amen? Some of you you work for Lockheed, and you work, and you have a family, and you just go through the list, what all the offices that you fulfill. And those resources, those offices were given to you in order that you might glorify Him. And as long as you are doing that, in every resource God has given you, finances, every area, then you will find fulfillment. And you will not find, you'll have fulfillment. See, you've already been given victory. If you do it God's way, you'll have victory. And you'll experience that fulfillment in life. And God will give you a passion and a dream for achieving His purpose in your life, your unique purpose that He's given for your life. In closing, life is precious. Life is a precious gift given to us by God. And our purpose is to glorify Him, to fellowship with Him. To fellowship with Him. Are you stewarding your life? Or are you simply spending it? So many times we just spend life, but we don't steward it. And then, if maybe you're here this morning, you've never given your life to Him. Maybe you've never been saved. You get saved today. That's the start. And then, Christian, are you fulfilling that purpose? I don't want to get too far ahead, but verse 2 tells you how. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We're not going to get into it yet. I'll look forward to preaching it in a few weeks. Let's pray. Let's all stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, for Your love. Lord, all of us, we understand and know You've given us a purpose in life. And Lord, may we fulfill that purpose. And Lord, in this auditorium, there may be someone who's not saved. I pray, God, that You would convict their heart, that be underneath the weight of their sin and understand their lost condition and a need for a Savior. Lord, may they come to You this morning. Lord, may we see the importance of life this morning, the preciousness of life, the uniqueness of it. And God, may we fulfill that purpose that You've given to us, that we might have fulfillment in this life, that we might have it now. Lord, we thank You for that great promise. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing hymn 159, Jesus, I Come.